Today's Bible lesson on the pastor's study is going to take us to the book of Ruth. Let's turn together to Ruth chapter 3 in verse number 1 and see what the Word of God has to say here. Ruth chapter 3 verse number 1. The Word of God has this to say. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Today's Bible lesson is entitled, The Goal of Marriage. The Goal of Marriage. Now, in the book of Ruth, the word rest is used in connection with marriage. Now, some may be thinking that marriage is anything but rest, especially the woman. But it's not necessarily a rest from physical labor or work, no. The rest here is speaking about peace. And we ask the question, how peaceful is your marriage? In this lesson, we are going to look at some ways that you can have peace with your marriage. Now let's turn to the book of Ruth again. And this time we're going to look at Ruth chapter 1 in verse number 9. Ruth 1 verse 9, the Word of God says this, The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 9, rest is spoken of as marriage for Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, rest is spoken of as Boaz not being in peace until the matter is taken care of. Notice with me, in the chapter 3 of Ruth, verse number 18, we read this. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest, is that word rest, until he have finished the thing this day. In the Word of God, the word peace is often connected with rest, as in the case of Israel, being in the promised land and being at rest from their enemies. Notice what the words of God say in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verses 1 to 2. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it. All the days that you live upon the earth, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. It's interesting to note here that God said he would put his name in this place. And we know he is speaking of Jerusalem, which means city of peace. Now we ask ourselves if God's name could be placed in our marriage or in our home. If the husband will not or cannot lead, and the wife refuses to follow or be in subjection, then there is no peace. Amen? If there is no real peace, then it's not really a place where God's name is found, is it? The interesting thing with peace, peace is definitely connected with salvation. Look with me in the book of Romans, with me, the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, before salvation, we were enemies of God. We had no peace with God. Amen. He was our enemy. But when we come and we submit ourselves to Him in His Word, by faith, by the grace of God, then we're justified by God, by faith. And once we're justified by faith, we will have peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God the Father and man. And the reason he has that position of mediator is because he sacrificed himself for you and I to pay for each and every one of our sins. So there are many out there today that are not saved. And they can talk a great game and they have perfect peace and this and that. But if they're really honest with themselves, there's something missing. There's still turmoil inside each and every one of them. Because they don't have peace with God. Because they're not saved. Amen. The wicked have no peace. The Word of God says. They're troubled. They're tossed like the sea. Amen. So, we see then peace is definitely connected with salvation. When we are saved, we are put into the body of Jesus Christ and espoused to Him as His bride. See, once again, we see that peace is connected to a marriage. When it comes to husbands and wives having true peace in the marriage, it can be a difficult process. The reason for this is given in an example of war, for example. Is it not? In an armed conflict, amen, in an armed conflict between two countries, for there to be real peace, someone has to lose. And in marriage, many times, no one wants to lose. In our headlines today, the threat of war with North Korea is always there. And when we look at the Korean War, which took place over 50 years ago, there was no clear winner. Instead of a peace treaty, they signed an armistice. Everything went back to the way it was before the war with a demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. Amen. Now, today many marriages have existed the same way. You see, the husband and the wife have their own territory and can coexist happily as long as neither one enters the demilitarized zone. But that is not real peace. There's always the threat of war anytime someone approaches the demilitarized zone. So, just how can we have peace in our marriages? Amen. Just how can we have peace in our marriages? Let's look at some things. The first thing I want to give you as hard as it is you need to die to self. Die to self. Die to your flesh. Kill your flesh. Crucify your flesh. Amen. Paul the apostle knew just how wicked that flesh was. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said. He was a wretched man. Amen. Isaiah knew. He said, when he saw the vision that he saw there of God sitting on the throne, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Amen. Let's look at two places in Scripture as we look at this die to self. One of the ways that you and I can have peace in our marriages. Amen. First, we look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. Genesis 15, verse 15. And we read here, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And we'll look at that. And I'll comment on that in just a moment. The second one we want to look at is found in Romans 6:6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and then henceforth we should not serve sin. You see? Amen. We need to die to self. That Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it starts off by knowing this. It says, knowing this. And again, this is something that we can know right now. It's not something that we have to wait till after we die. Amen. Or need further revelation on. It's very explicit and very clear. Know this. Know this. That our old man, that is our sinful flesh. Amen. See, the only thing that got born again was your spirit. Amen. Your flesh is still wicked and defiled. So you need to crucify it. Kill it. Crucifixion was the way that they killed Christ. You need to kill it. You need to nail it to the cross with him. All your sins and my sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to that cross. Amen. And the reason that we need to crucify the old man is that the body of sin, see, that old man is sin, wants to sin. Your body is full of sin. Amen. So that the body of sin might be destroyed. You need to destroy it. You need to keep your body under. And the result of all of that is, then henceforth we should not serve sin. That's the outcome. That's why you do that. That's why you crucify the old man. So the body can be destroyed, then henceforth we should not serve sin. You have to make decision each day that you get up, who you're going to be yielded to, the Holy Spirit of God, or your sinful flesh. And if you are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you will crucify that flesh, you will destroy the body of sin, and you won't serve sin, because you'll be yielded to the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, if you yield it to the flesh, guess what? You're going to sin. You're going to serve sin. You're going to be a servant of sin. Who do you want to sin? You're going to make your mind up. Amen? Now, I mentioned, we looked at Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. And what we want to notice is this. The first place that we see the word peace in the King James Bible is here in Genesis 15:15, and it's connected with a death. So as we're looking at how to have peace in our marriage, die to self, we need to remember in marriage that both parties are to be in submission unto the Lord. Amen? We both, the husband and wife, needs to be in submission to the Lord. Amen to that? And if you're not, then there's going to be problems. Guaranteed. See? Therefore, before a husband and wife can have peace in their marriage, they will have to have peace between them and God. See? Die to self. You want peace in your marriage? Die to yourself. That is so counter to what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to rear its ugly head and take preeminence in your life and be satisfied. And that's one of the reasons you don't have peace in your marriage today, is because you haven't died to self. Neither one of you has come in submission unto the Lord. See? And you don't have peace with God? How can you have peace with each other in your marriage? Now let's look at something else. How to have peace, amen, in our marriages. Do right. Do right. Let's look at a couple of places in Scripture here, if you would. First in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." The work of righteousness shall be peace. See? If you are righteous, and you're only righteous because of accepting Christ, you have Christ's righteousness. The outcome of the work of righteousness in your life shall be peace. In all areas of your life, including your marriage. And the effect of that peace, the effect of righteousness, is quietness and assurance forever. Don't you want that? Then do right. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 11, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, we're to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. There should be no place for sin in your life. See? You want sin to be dead in your life, and you want to be alive unto Jesus Christ. Reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin. You don't want sin to be any part of your life. Wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Amen. So we're looking at how to have actual peace in our marriages. So we need to do right. One of the hardest things in life is to simply do right. When you do right is where all the opposition comes from. Whether you are a husband or a wife, peace will start by doing right. In marriage, each person has their responsibility to do what God says and is not dependent on the other party necessarily doing their part. That's why the Word of God is everything that you and I need to learn to live our lives in a way that's pleasing Himself. You don't have to go to the marriage counselor per se. You want to know how to have peace in your marriage? You want to know how God wants you to, how your marriage should be before God? Go to the Word of God. Amen. That's who you're trying to please, is God, not somebody else. Do right. Amen. Die to self. Do right. That's how you have peace in your marriage. Amen. Now, let's look at one other thing here, as we're looking at how to have peace in our marriage. Rest. You know, folks, it's a wicked world we're living in. We're in the last days, are we not? And there's so much upheaval and turmoil in this world. Don't we want peace in your marriage? When you come in and you close the door and you walk into your home and you shut out the outside world, that should be a peaceful haven when you walk through that door. Now, the third thing we need to see, if we want peace, have peace in our marriage, is yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto God. Amen. We need to yield ourselves unto God. Let's look at a couple of verses of scripture. We read, first of all, in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, Romans 6, 11, likewise, amen, amen. Rather, let's move down to verse 13. That's the verse I want, Romans 6, 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then the second verse I want to look at is Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're to be yielded, not as instruments of unrighteousness, not as instruments of under sin, but to be yield ourselves unto God is those as alive from the dead. See, when you yield yourselves to God, it's like being resurrected. You're alive, live unto God. And your members, amen, are being used as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then Ephesians 5:21 cannot be any clearer. Submit yourselves one to another in fear of God. Amen. There's a consequence if you're not submitted to God, if you're not submitted to one another. There are consequences. Amen. To all of that, is there not? So, once you've died to self, amen, again, the process is die to self, amen, crucify that wicked flesh, put it under, be yielded to the whole, when you get up, you want to say, and you want to ask for God's grace and mercy, help me to die to self. Help me to put you first in my life today, God. Help me, Jesus, to put you on the throne of my heart and not my sinful, wicked flesh. See? If you do that, then the rest will fall in place. You'll have peace in your marriage. Amen. And then when you do that, do right. Do what's right. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Do right in everything that you do, in every relationship that you have. Be it in your marriage, or be it in business, or whatever, with family. Do right. But how can you do right? Amen. Reckoning yourself dead to sin. Amen. And then yield yourself unto God. See, once you've died to self and start doing right, it will be easier to yield to God all areas of being a good husband and a good wife. See? But to die to self first, do right, and then you'll be able to yield yourselves unto God. See? It'll all start to fall into place. Will it not? Now, to have peace in the marriage, both parties have to die to self, do right, and yield to God. Both parties. Amen. You've got to stop the old blame game, blaming each other for this and that. Amen. That's what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to win the argument. So when you're doing that, that's not the Holy Spirit, is it? No. It's a sinful flesh, the wicked flesh. So you need to die, each party, husband and wives, you need to die to self. Do right. Be yielded to God. And then that peace that passes all understanding will be in your marriage. Amen. You want to look forward to coming home from a hard day's work and know that there's going to be peace when you enter your home. And not having the dread of there's going to be another argument as soon as either one of you come into that house. And not only that, think about the effect it's going to have on your children. Amen. Because you're the example to them, because they're going to grow up and get married, more than likely. You're setting the example of what a God-honoring marriage should be. And if you're bickering and fighting all the time, they're going to say, I don't want any part of that. What good is marriage anyway? It has ramifications when there's peace, not in a marriage. Amen. So now, think of it this way. It won't be easy, because this is all counter to the wicked flesh. But this is why that Jesus said, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So both parties, husband and wives, listening today, won't you come to Jesus, because he wants to give you rest. Be yielded yourself, amen, unto God. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. Thank you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. May God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.